Amen. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. What a statement that is. And that we can carry that title, carry Christ's name with us. This lesson today is going to be different because I'm not going to do all the speaking. I'm asking James to come forward now. And I'd like to read what God says through Isaiah. How lovely on the mountains, this is Isaiah 52, 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, who brings good news of good things, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Amen. We want to be a church with a heart for missions. And to have our mission deacon and his family go and serve for a few years, however long the Lord keeps him out there, for years or however it is. What a blessing that is. What an inspiration that is. James has a few words he wants to say. We will have a fellowship tonight starting at 5 o'clock for us to say goodbye to him, but for him to be able to speak to not only you, but those who are not here locally. I wanted him to come forward, and he has a few words to say. Brother, would you come up? We love you. We're proud of you. And thank you.
Hi. Good morning. Okay. I was just telling my wife, what am I supposed to say? She said, say thank you. So, I'm a part of a team. My wife and I and my three children, we leave this Tuesday, 2 days from now. We're flying to Dallas to go to a missions conference so that we can get some wisdom and some encouragement from our brothers and sisters there in Dallas. We're going to talk to some people for the week. And then the 24th of October, my wife and I and our three children are flying with a couple of bags to Tirana, Albania. Our work will be in Berat, Albania, but we will spend probably 3 months in Tirana setting things up in Berat so that we can get there. It's a harder community to get settled into. And there is a church in Berat that was planted several years ago. I had a minister that was working with them, an Albanian, part of the Albanian minister team. And then things didn't work out with him. There were some problems, and he ended up leaving this congregation that was a small garden with little plants, right? With faith, with a passion to learn, but without leadership to do it, and without teachers to teach them. And they were struggling, and they reached out to one of the ministers that was working 3 hours away in the city of Duras, and they persuaded him to work in both cities at the same time. He teaches on Sunday mornings in one city, and then drives and teaches in the evening in the next, and then drives home in the evening. He does that twice a week, 3 hours both directions. and he's looking for help. And so while Andrea and I were wanting to reach out and do mission work in Ukraine originally, and that door was closed to us, and we started looking to see if there were other open doors, God very emphatically pointed us to Albania. And we contacted the people there, our brothers and sisters, and they were ecstatic about the idea of us coming and helping. They were reasonable about what we will be doing, and we're excited to be a part of their team. It's awkward for me to stand up here and talk about this, and I'm going to try to be super, super quick to get through this, but I want you to know I'm stepping out as the head of my family, making this decision. My family is completely on board with that. They're excited, and they're going to be a part of the team. You all have shown that you are supportive of us, and that gives us the benefit of confidence stepping out, and this is a work that we are all doing. So it is very awkward for me to stand up here and talk about this, as I know there are so many works and so many things that are similar sacrifices that are happening here in this room by our brothers and sisters, and maybe not being discussed in this same way. I appreciate and respect and thank you for your support of our family and what we are doing. I encourage you to step out. I see it like, I think in metaphors. I'm going to give you a metaphor. It might be stupid, and you can do with it what you wish. But I want you to maybe have this trigger a thought for you. In a moment, we're going to be in this next room, and there's going to be a potluck table, and there's going to be food, and perhaps you're already thinking about it, and you're hungry in anticipation for what will be there, and what you're excited about eating, and the people you will be with, and who you will talk to, and how that time will work out. And you'll have to come out, and you'll stand in a line waiting for it as you invest in this opportunity to consume food. This is getting weird, I can tell already. When you're doing this and you start looking along that table that people have lovingly prepared the dishes and that people have lovingly placed them out and put the utensils into, there might be a pot of beans that is sitting there that for whatever reason, the spoon has disappeared from it. Perhaps it was not there. Perhaps it was there and started teaching things that were very strange and then wandered away. This is Berat, Albania, a bucket of beans. And so, I'm going off the rails. And so, you're waiting in line and you see that there is no way for these beans to be served, and you notice the opportunity, and in order to fix that problem, you will have to step out of line and go and do that work. And perhaps that work is just stepping out of line and walking into the kitchen and looking underneath a cabinet and looking on the table and looking to see, do you need a slotted spoon? And then, no, you want this one so that they can put it. And you look for it and you fulfill that and then you take it and you put it in. And then you can do that with full confidence, knowing that if you ever want to, you can come back and your brothers and sisters will allow you to integrate back into the line. Does this make sense? Do you see? I don't know if this is making any sense. You would do this, though. You would do this, and this is something that happens when we, following after our Lord as disciples of Christ, means that we have our eyes open to opportunities, and when we see the opportunity, we consider the cost and the sacrifices being made, and if you look into the Word and you consider it, you will realize that those costs are insignificant. Because we have a God and a Father who loves us deeply and cares for us. Okay, beans. And I apologize to any Albanian listening for referring to them as beans. There's a better metaphor, but I'm too tired to come up with it and find it. I want to read to you, though, from Psalms 34. I said recently that I'm practicing being speechless. I don't know what teaching in Albania will look like in this format. And I hope I'm conveying that I have much to learn about preaching with my hands. Okay? But I want to read publicly scripture with you because it's something I'm going to miss. Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cries out, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If what we are doing seems crazy, challenge that. If you see the service that needs to be done, and you have any strike of fear of letting go of whatever it was you had planned or what was going on or whatever the cost is going to be, challenge that and see that the Lord is good. I'm trying to consider my children in this all the way. We are committing ourselves to a year and a half in Barat. The work there probably is 6 years, by my estimation, of how long it would take for this congregation to become self-sufficient so that somebody like me could leave, Chimmy could focus on his work in Duras, and another minister and the church leaders there in Barat would be established. How we fit into that, I don't know for certain. God knows, and we're stepping forward to do that. We're considering our children in it. It is a safe place. I don't know what you picture in your head when you picture Albania. It's probably halfway accurate, but it is safe. I wouldn't be taking my children if it wasn't safe. It is a place that will challenge them with uncomfortable things, and I'm looking forward to that. I would be a bad father if I allowed my children to look at a... Let's go back to the beans. I'm stuck on the beans. If I allowed my children to look at beans and say, I don't like beans, and for me to say, but you haven't tasted it yet. They're delicious. You've dealt with people like this, right? Not you, of course. Taste it and find out. Taste it and find out. Just taste it. I would be a bad father if I didn't allow them to taste it. And if I showed them myself not stepping forward and doing more than just preach it, live it. I have so much to say. I will stop it here. I want to make a connection, though, to Proverbs chapter 3. David, writing in the book of Psalms, talks about the wonderful care and the mercy of God in somebody that steps forward and trusts in him, and how he takes them and shields them with angels and comforts them and protects them in terrible times, and that he can glorify, along with all the others around him, glorify that God is good. I have tasted and I have seen that God is good. And it sticks in my throat. That then his son can step forward and can repeat the same phrases in his own words, with his own experiences, with his own tasting, with his own seeing, being inspired and seeing the challenge, and the challenge fulfilled with the glory of God beyond what he could imagine. And in Proverbs chapter 3, we read the voice of Solomon saying, my son, speaking of wisdom and knowledge, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They will be a life to your soul and grace to your neck. In verse 23, you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. And when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden terror, nor the trouble from the wicked when it comes, because the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. I thank you for sending me, my family, for allowing us this opportunity, for providing us with the spoon. I'm going to just keep going with it. Providing us with the spoon that we can then share with the beans. For providing us with the opportunity to serve in this way, for being a congregation that I know will continue to be in contact with us. We will need you. We will be up there in that box with you on Sunday. You can pull us up on your phone. They're there in Deering right now. Did you know that? They're in a chat window underneath the YouTube video in Deering, and you can talk to them. I will be there with them. And we can stay connected through this. We will be connecting with you deliberately so that we can stay connected. We will need you more than ever. And I thank you so much that we have a stable, established, firm church family foundation that we can then step out and we can do this. And that my children, other children, that others across the world can perhaps see something take place that I know 100% will be in the glory of God. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Thank you, family. So, do you have his back? You have their back? You know, we have seen many, many, many times in our lives, Carol and I have, where our children were much better spokesmen than we were. Our children were much more powerful in getting a message across than Carol and I were loudly. And that doesn't mean they were loud. They were just clear because of their hearts and their walk. And so I'm excited that the five of them are going. And tonight, we need to rally around them. It's Tuesday evening. They're flying out. Tonight, we want to rally around them in fellowship and in prayer and in joy to say goodbye. We want to be a church with a heart for missions. We want to be that backstop. And we've talked about it many times, how Antioch was that kind of congregation. And this lesson is about us learning how to be Antioch. But I have a question for you before we get to that. Can you answer Jesus' prayer? We want Jesus or God to answer our prayers. Can you answer his? This came up in a discussion with a brother of ours about a month ago he and I were discussing his preparation for a lesson, and I said, well, if you do that, you'd be an answer to Jesus' prayer. And I'd never said that sentence before in my brain. I know you are answers to my prayers. But that so often happens because of God's providential direction, moving your heart, your life, whatever. But I mean, in your free will, can you answer Jesus' prayer? Not providentially with God moving you or God sparing you and prodding you, but I mean in your mind, in your heart, with your decision. First of all, can you? Is that, am I theologically stepping on a unshaky beam? Am I stepping out? Wait, we don't answer God's prayers. God answers our prayers. Free will is powerful. Your choices are powerful. Can you do it? Many of you are way ahead of me. You can. Many of you know exactly what chapter I'm going to talk about. We're going to John chapter 17. Jesus is praying in that chapter, and it's beautiful, and it's worth a serious study. It's a magnificent proclamation and conversation with his heavenly Father, with our heavenly Father. And Jesus famously says, and we love to stop at this part, and it pierces me and encourages me. In verse 20, he says, I'm not asking on behalf of these alone, meaning the 12. I'm not asking just on the 12, but on those who believe in me through their word. And of course, the point is that's us. We believe in Christ because of the teachings and the writings of the apostles. Verse 21, that they may be, what is it? One. Unity, oneness is our choice. God doesn't, he prods, he encourages, but that's our choice. That they may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. There's several things going on that Jesus is proclaiming or has been proclaiming in his prayer, the oneness of him and God. And he talks about us being in him and also being participating in that oneness and in that glory. But in the middle of that, he talks about us being one here. And it clearly affects our relationship with God and our place in Christ. But it's not just there. He says that you all may be one. And of course, we're called repeatedly to unity. Ephesians 4, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our diligence is to be united. You want to be a backdrop? You want to be a backstop? Backdrop. Backstop. You want to have the Smiths support to be a solid support of love and care and stability and encouragement. Many of you probably heard we had one of our mission team members come here, and while they were serving here with us, their home congregation split. And their support stopped. You see, we don't understand the depth and breadth of what our choices and who our lives affect. Are we going to be one? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree. Don't you love that? And that there be no divisions among you, and that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. And then he goes on to say, because I've heard you got some divisions going on. Where does that start besides in your own heart? It's in your home. One of the problems we have with our Sunday assembly is we come through we pile in the car. There's a lot of, this happens sometimes. There's that tumbling, get out of the house, stop what you're doing, where's my coat, I can't find my shoes. You know, all of that noise, get out of the shower, we got to get going. I mean, all that noise about the household, and the family tumbles out and they pile into the car, and it's the folks in the back seat that are smaller than normal, and they're elbowing each other, and y'all, and the mom and dad in the front seat get irritated, and they all come and they walk through the door, and everybody goes, and you come walking through the door. Hi, good morning. Nice to see you. Good to be here. Sit down, kids. It's great to be here. We know what it takes to put on this face of pleasantness. But what happens when that's serious? What happens when that's really serious? And it's not just the kids who are elbowing each other, but mom and dad are elbowing each other, and they're not just casual elbows, but they're pointed elbows, and there's pain and difficulty and issues. Our lives, starting in our hearts, in our closest relationships, need to be obeying the word. God calls us. Jesus said, all, that you all may be one. Don't let your marriage weaken, crack, be pulled apart. Let that closest, most passionate relationship, let that oneness that God has created in you, in your home, that's part of us backing up, not just James, Andrea, Clara, Lydia, and Gideon, but also Rick Owens working in Mexico, and our young adults going out on their mission fields and coming back, every one of them, and each other here, and the congregations around the state. And you may not know it, but we're helping support Brandon in Kodiak, and we've helped support other preachers around the state. You're being a backstop. You're being a support. You're being strong and stable and encouraging. Starts in your own heart and is proven in your own home that your family is one. Oh, we're not perfect. And I don't mean to be pouring guilt or pressure where it doesn't belong. Oh, but God calls us. And we will wrap up this lesson right here, even though it's got several other points to it, and we haven't even gotten to the Antioch church. But deliberately, I knew that having James and I both speak, this lesson would be truncated. But we get to answer Jesus' prayer. You'll do it in a few minutes as we walk in the next room, as James called us to. It's been so beautiful watching you lately and noticing that not very many people sitting alone anymore. As soon as you see somebody sitting alone, you go and sit with them. I saw it this morning. Folks, we hadn't met yet, sitting here and people coming through the door and immediately going over and saying, hi, I haven't met you yet. My name is so-and-so. That the power of what you do, that we don't just come in and paste on a smile and deal with being with each other for a few hours and go home and get back to arguing or getting back to being grumpy. That we live and walk in real efforts of love and unity, in real efforts of purpose, in real efforts of glorifying God with who we are and how we think and how we love and how we serve. Jesus prays powerfully, and you notice what the last line of what we read was. He goes on with his prayer. What your unity does, starting in your heart, and in your marriage, and in your family, Jesus said, so that the world may believe, he's talking to God, that the world may believe that you sent me. We need to change. We need to change that our families are places of God's strength, of God's peace, of application of God's love, of God's unity, of God's service in our home. that our families can come together in that strength of God's purpose to become a congregation of strength for God's purpose. And we can continue to multiply and magnify that unity here. I'd never thought of that way before, that we get to answer his prayer. Now, there's a lot of other prayers you answer, and you do it with your will and with your service, like the contribution that we said was over 16,500, and now it's well over 17,500 in support of the Smiths. That's your purposing, loving care. Let's be that kind of congregation that's stable and unified and purposed in Christ, obedient to his word. If there's any here this morning who have not been baptized into Christ, we want to help you with that. We want you to know that you can believe and you can know that God sent Jesus to this earth, that you can be confident that Jesus, who walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, was the Son of God, and he died for your sins and was resurrected. He called us to be baptized into him and to walk in him with all the rest of our lives. If you're ready to do that this morning or start that this morning, or you have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.